Did all of you desire to go pro? Was there like the expectation to go pro? Like, did your parents feed you some kind of like magical supplement with your Cheerios every morning? Like that seems pretty crazy.
No, so really my dad's goal was to get everyone to college for free. You know, that was his main thing. He's like, my parents, they raised us to earn everything that we had. So the last thing my dad wanted to do was to pay for us to go to college.
Welcome to the Small Business Storytellers, the show where we dive deep into the stories and secrets of businesses focused on not just making money, but making the world a better place. My name is Seth Silvers, and my passion is helping businesses grow that are making the world a better place. Every episode, you will hear from transformational leaders and business owners as we dive into what has helped them grow and what has helped them stay true to themselves along the way. Also, every week we are hosting live conversations with our guests on Fireside Chat, where we give you, the audience, the opportunity to ask them your burning questions. So make sure to join us live on Fireside Chat on your mobile device. Let's dive in.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Small Business Storytellers. Today's going to be a fun episode, sitting down with one of the Gronk brothers, Chris Gronkowski. Chris, how are you doing today and where are you calling from?
Hey, what's up, Seth? I'm doing well, man. It's Friday. Had a big week, fun week. And man, everything that we planned for this year is kind of just happening for the company. So
awesome.
It's kind of where are you guys based? Reports. Oh, we're right outside of Dallas, Texas. So in the Dallas-Fort Worth area.
Cool. That's awesome. Well, I'm looking forward to this conversation. We're going to talk a little bit football because your family's crazy and you have five boys, all of who have played professional sports. But we're also going to talk business, and we're going to talk Ice Shakers, which is the company that Chris is the CEO of. And so this is fun because I think that it's always really awesome when the athletic world and the business world mix, and we're seeing more of that today where it's becoming a lot more common. But I think what you and your brothers are building is an awesome example of that. So first off, give us kind of like the 30-second, 60-second version of like what your career has looked like, because it is unique from the, you know, the average American that, you know, goes to college, gets a job, all that stuff. Like, tell us a little bit about your career and kind of how you landed where you are today.
For sure, for sure. So born and raised in Buffalo, New York. I was the middle of the five brothers. I'm actually Rob's older brother. I'm 2 years older than Rob, so closest to him. But, you know, grew up just mayhem, man. Five boys in the household, just playing sports, just all out brawls every day. And it bred us to be super competitive, which led into sports and everything that we did. And, you know, we were lucky enough to get scholarships. I was actually a two-star recruit coming out. I got a last-minute offer to the University of Maryland. I accepted it. And, you know, played there for about 2 years, wasn't in love with it, and ended up transferring and playing with my brother Rob at Arizona. So I was a guy that, you know, never thought he would make it to that next level. So I was going to school, I was having fun, and I was trying to get the best degree that I could. So I decided to get an accounting degree, thinking that, you know, at least I'd make some decent money when I left school. And, you know, the next thing I know, I had a chance to play at the next level in the NFL. So one shot, one opportunity, undrafted at the Dallas Cowboys, and ended up making the team, playing for 3 years, started for three years, went into the fourth season, got hurt. And that was it for me. So lucky enough for me, I did get 401k. I got pension, got retirement. And I also got a decent chunk of cash that allowed me to jumpstart a business. First, it was with my wife. She started a business in my third year because she was sick of finding a new job in every city that I went to. So 3 years in, she said, I'm going to find a way to work from home. And she did. So started hand painting wine glasses. Thought it was the worst idea ever. And the next thing I know, she's selling them. And she's selling them so quickly that she couldn't keep up with the sales. So at that point, kind of realized that there was an opportunity there and started digging a little bit deeper. And the next thing I know, I'm in the personalization business. And I'm engraving, building this company for the first 5 years when I left the NFL, and did that with her, loved it, made more money than I did playing in the NFL. And realized about 5 years into it that it truly wasn't my passion. So thought of the idea for the Ice Shaker, just a shaker bottle when I was at the gym, and realized that it was kind of my way back into the sports and fitness world that I love. So saw the opportunity and just started it as a side hustle, and was lucky enough that 6 months into the company that I landed on ABC Shark Tank, and that really excelled us to the next level really quickly.
Yeah, that's awesome. And when was this? What year was this?
So Shark Tank was 2017. So okay. I started the business in really in January 2017.
Okay. And that, I mean, that seems like a perfect time. And if I remember correctly, like 2016, 2017 were when these like insulated tumblers really started gaining ground. Like now I feel like it's super, super popular. And especially like I'm in Colorado. So like, you know, Hydro Flasks and Yetis and Otter coolers and all that stuff is like everywhere. But I feel like they weren't quite as popular then. It wasn't as commonplace. Did you feel like you guys were kind of in towards the beginning of that movement?
Yeah, I would say in the sports and fitness world, we were for sure. I mean, Yeti and Hydro Flask had been around for years and they were crushing it. So there's just nothing really geared towards the fitness realm. So we were definitely the first in that space and really just try to take over that space at that time. But yeah, it was super hot, man. The Yeti was on fire in 2016. Yeah. And I actually had one. And that's where part of the idea came from was the fact that I had a Yeti. I'd bring it to work. I loved it. It was super hot in Texas. I'd go home. I'd grab a plastic shaker bottle. And by the time I got to the gym, it was sweating everywhere. It smelled awful. And I was like, man, how is this amazing cup that keeps my drink cold all day not in the form that I can bring to the gym? Like, I just want something that can break up my powders and, you know, really want something I could use all day, every day. I didn't want to bring one cup to work and then come home and grab a bottle to go to the gym. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, I think that's awesome. And that's a cool, like, it seems like everybody has kind of this, some form of aha moment that kind of pushes them a little bit over the edge. And we'll dive more into the business in a little bit, but kind of rewinding to like growing up, for you plus three, your brothers went into the NFL. One played professional baseball. What was that like? Was there the, did all of you desire to go pro? Was there like the expectation to go pro? Like, did your parents feed you some kind of like magical supplement with your Cheerios every morning? Like that seems pretty crazy.
No. So, really my dad's goal was to get everyone to college for free. You know, that was his main thing. He's like, my parents, they raised us to earn everything that we had. So the last thing my dad wanted to do was to pay for us to go to college. You know, if we wanted to go, you know, that was great. He said he would help us pay for it, but we'd have to pay every penny of it back. So his whole goal was, let's find a way to get you guys there without having to pay for it. So let's put the work in, let's get you down in the basement in the gym. Let's reach out to, these scouts that are coming in these schools, let's go to their camps and let's get you a scholarship. So you don't come out of college with all this debt. So that was his main goal. The goal of the NFL or, pro, that wasn't really ever from day one, the mission. My dad didn't push us into sports either. He wasn't, we weren't this crazy like football family. We actually didn't play football until high school. He was just the dad that
all four of you brothers that wins the NFL.
Yeah. So none of us played until high school. And my oldest brother, Gordy, actually never played football. It was the second oldest brother, Dan, that was, he was just a monster in high school. And it was like, he got forced to play basically by all his friends in the school were like, when you're that big, you can't just not play football. So that's how it all started. Brother Dan was just a beast. He was quarterback. He was studded on the field. He got a scholarship to University of Maryland. And, once I saw all that happen, it was like, that's the coolest thing ever. I want to be a part of that. So that's why I started playing. And then it just trickled down from me to Rob to our youngest brother, Glenn. And from that point on, the competition, just the competitive side of us just came out at that point. And, we just kept working. And, eventually we were lucky enough to get our shot to play at the next level.
Mm-hmm. When was the moment that you realized that going pro was maybe going to be an option? Because I think it's unique for you that you weren't really thinking that wasn't necessarily the ultimate goal. So what was it like when you kind of realized like, well, dang, this might be possible. And how did that happen? Did like an agent call you or how did that process kind of happen where you realized that was probably going to happen?
Yeah. I don't think you ever truly know, at least I didn't, a guy at my position, but my junior year was when scouts started coming in. They were watching my brother's film, and my coach at the time was like, hey, like, these scouts are asking a lot about you as well. So, you know, keep up the good work, have a great senior year, and you're going to have a shot at the next level. So that's when I first, and that was the first year I started too, was my junior year. So at that point I was like, yeah, that's crazy. Like, this coach doesn't know what he's talking about. Yeah. There's no chance for me. So, you know, I just kept working, and then senior year, you know, came, and, you know, I still didn't really know if I had a shot at the next level, but, you know, had agents come in and sign me, and they kind of told me right from the bat that, you know, it might be a really late pick or undrafted, but, you know, you still have a chance to play at the next level. So, that's when I kind of bought into it, was my senior year. And, you know, really started to think that, hey, maybe there's a shot. It's not going to be a great chance. It's not going to last forever, but there is a chance here.
Right. Yeah. And then, you know, you get to the pros, like, tell me a little bit about your first game. Like, when you first, like, get on the field, what was that moment like?
Yeah, I still wasn't sure if I was going to believe it or not. But I guess the first game I started, I started the first game, but we had another fullback on the team at the time, so I was kind of in this backup role. But the second game against the Bears, I took over the starting role. And, you know, first play, I'm lined up against Brian Urlacher, and it's an isolation play, of course. So it's one-on-one in the hole, first play versus Brian Urlacher. And I'm like, man, this is it. Like, this is the real deal right here. I watch this guy, you know, this guy is a legend. And now I'm going against him. My hands on the ground, like, I'm shaking, you know, just almost violently, because I'm, you know, just all the nerves, and you're just so amped up at the same time. So,
right.
You know, I fly in the hole. I'm expecting this massive, massive hit. And, you know, it ends up being he kind of just came up and filled the hole and got onto the next play. And, you know, it took me a little bit to realize that the older guys, you know, they weren't going to bring the heat anymore. They were just going to come in. They're going to do their job. They were going to use the right form. They were going to shove their head in there and take this massive hit, and they were going to go on to the next play. So, yeah, that was it, though. That was like that moment where I was like, man, this is really happening. And, you know, then you get that first play in, and everything's kind of just back to normal, and you're just playing again.
Yeah, that's awesome. And then, you know, a couple of years go by, you're out of the NFL. Was there when you were out and you got that injury settlement, what were you thinking your, like, career, if you will, was going to look like? Were you imagining getting another job or starting a business from the start? Like, what were you thinking the next season of your life would look like?
Yeah, so luckily it was like this really smooth transition for me where after my third year, my contract ended. So I had a 3-year contract. And during that time was kind of when my wife's business started. And I was in between signing with teams. So I had a bunch of free time and really started looking into my wife's business and really started doing a lot with it and realized there was a lot of opportunity there. So at that point, we were making pretty good money. And I then went and signed with the Chargers. So I went there. I was there for about 6 months. I was flying back and helping my wife out as well. And still building the business and doing stuff with that. And then I ended up getting hurt in camp. So at that point, they released me with an injury settlement. I actually was supposed to be out for about 3 weeks, ended up being 3 months. That was rehabbing a high ankle sprain that they made me feel like I was going to come back from a lot faster. So during that time, I was just working. And then it was so busy, you don't really realize missed the game that much when you're doing so much other stuff. So I think that helped a lot, but I did try to come back. I had a tryout in Miami. I ran a 40-yard dash on the third step. I completely ruptured my hamstring, and it came down to either having surgery or just letting it go. And it would scar down. I'd be able to still, you know, run and walk and do everything a normal person could do, but I wouldn't be able to play at a high level anymore. So
right.
It was kind of one of those things that was almost a blessing in disguise. It right. Let me walk away from the game without having, you know, that what if feeling. You know, what if I came back one more year and, you know, I played again, we won a Super Bowl, whatever it was. You know, that was completely gone. I was able to step away and just move on to the next chapter of my life.
Yeah, it's interesting how, you know, life gives us these moments where it just kind of puts our back against the wall and makes, you know, it's like all these huge decisions kind of seem to come out of nowhere. So I'm curious, did you feel more nervous going into your first NFL game or going into the Shark Tank?
Oh man, definitely first NFL game by far. and I think it's because I was, you know, you can prepare for, you know, a pitch in something like Shark Tank. You can't really prepare for an NFL game and know what's going to happen because every play is different and every guy you go against is a little bit different and all the tendencies change. And it's just a whole nother level, man. It's man on man, you know, it's a big boy game. And, yeah, it's definitely a different feeling. You just can't get that feeling from anything else. So,
yeah.
Definitely more nervous going into an NFL game. That's for sure.
Right. And then, yeah, so you start your company and head into Shark Tank. Like, how much did things change after the Shark Tank kind of experience? Because, you know, everybody knows, obviously, millions of people are seeing the show and people are still seeing it, like with reruns and stuff. So, like, how much of an impact did being on the show have? And then I'm also curious, like, how much of an impact did your actual investors, like getting Mark Cuban and A-Rod involved, have?
Yeah, so the show is the real deal. I mean, it's an absolute beast, especially, you know, being 6 months in and no one really knowing the product. What it did was it gave us this massive proof of concept because all five sharks tried to get into the company and they all offered us. So then locking it up with Mark Cuban and Alex Rodriguez was just massive. So we exploded overnight. I mean, we were, man, 6 months in, 80,000 in sales at that time. Brand new company, brand new startup, and went from 80,000 to about 3 million in sales over the next 12 months. And just massive exposure. It allowed us to grow the company really fast, bring in new SKUs, new products. And it was everything that you want out of it. So, you know, that impact was massive. And then Mark Cuban, his impact was definitely felt as well. He immediately locked up a deal with GNC, which was great. It put us on the national just map with a retailer, which was another just great, you know, proof of concept and a trust builder for other companies as well that are coming in trying to buy the product. But yeah, a lot. He also just, you know, for me, I didn't know anything. You know, I was brand new, kind of running this company that was kind of in a whole different area than I was, you know, in with my wife. And there's so many questions that I had, and it was just a great resource for me to reach out to them and say, hey, you know, I don't know about this. What do you guys think? You know, should I move forward with it? Should I work with this partner? All those kinds of questions I'd just bounce off of Mark's team. And then if they didn't know the answer, the best part was they had another 100 companies underneath them that, you know, had, you know, CEOs and CMOs and CFOs that I could ask questions to. And they were going to give me an unbiased, you know, opinion on what they thought. So that network was just absolutely massive, especially for me, because I was just so early on and just didn't really know what I was doing. I mean, I would say it probably took me 4 years to actually learn how to run a business properly and set it up the correct way. So having someone like that to help you out is definitely a very helpful, useful tool.
Yeah. Were there any things that going back you would do differently, or that maybe with your next company, you're going to be like more intentional about doing a little bit differently than you did with Iceshaker at first?
Man, everything. Yeah. I had no game plan, no budget. You know, there was nothing, no projections. I was just kind of winging everything. I didn't hire quickly enough. I mean, I put everything on my plate and it just, you know, I probably did everything that every entrepreneur does at first. And you realize later that, you know, it's a mistake. I mean, sometimes you have to do it at first, but you have to then learn how to build a team and really delegate and, you know, build out processes as well. And it really have just this great system and this great culture. And once you realize that, that's when you really start to scale and grow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's so interesting to look back and, you know, my business has been open for 6 years now and I don't have regrets about how I've done things, but there's absolutely like there's absolutely things I would do differently. And you just learn, and it's this weird balance of like, you know, being grateful for the experience because that makes us who we are. And that gets us to where we are, but also realizing like, man, there's so many things that we would change kind of going along the path of business. I'm curious because you know, I've met your other brothers, but I know obviously, you know, Rob is legendary tight end. And so he's on the news, you know, in the press quite often. He's talked about business stuff quite a bit. You know, I've heard interviews with him where, like, it's evident that he, you know, manages his money differently than a lot of NFL players manage their money with. I think I heard an interview with him one time where he said that he pretty much wasn't touching his earning, like his salary. He was just living off of other things. And the point isn't how Rob manages his money, but it seems like you guys are thinking about things differently coming out of the professional athlete world. And even with your brand, the Grunk Brothers, where all of you are involved, kind of building up now the Grunk YouTube channel. What kind of sparked this for you guys to realize, like, hey, we got a brand here and we can build businesses. Like, we can build businesses together as opposed to, you know, now that most of our professional careers in athletics are done, like, let's just go our separate ways. What sparked you guys wanting to do stuff together and move into business together?
Yeah, I mean, that definitely sparked from my dad. He's been in business for 32 years now in the fitness industry. So I was actually the first brother that didn't, you know, go work for my dad. But what's cool about it is that we all work together still, but we don't step on each other's toes. So I think it's a great way to do it because, you know, with family, friends, even, you know, when you bring them into business, a lot of times things change and they change quickly once money's involved. So we found a way to really help each other out, stay in similar, you know, type of industries with sports and fitness, and kind of bounce ideas and bounce relationships off each other as well. So it's been amazing. It's been really cool. We help each other out, and then we do collaborate on certain things as well. And you know, most of them are things that we're super passionate about, and they're usually also things that give back. So our Grunk Nation Youth Foundation, we started as well to really give back to the kids and to hospitals and stuff as well. So yeah, but for the most part, on a day-to-day basis, we're not working necessarily, you know, with each other, but we're always on calls together, helping each other out.
That's awesome. Yeah. And I think just understanding and having even the vision to see, like, you guys have a brand, like, there's a lot of, you know, kind of social equity to be able to, capitalize on, not just to make money, but also to make an impact. So tell me about how you guys are making more of, like, an impact on the side of Ice Shakers. Like, I know, you know, before the call, you and I have talked about kind of the team, like, the team culture you want to create, and there's the foundation. What are you doing to make Ice Shakers about more than just selling Ice Shakers?
Yeah, for sure. At first, it wasn't like that, man. It was definitely a learning process for me, and it's so funny because yeah, I've been in these amazing systems in the NFL and really throughout all the sports that I played in. And you watch, you know, and you're in it and you don't really realize what you're in and how great it really is. And then you leave. And, you know, that's when you kind of realize that, you know, everyone doesn't show up to work for the same reason. You know, most people are there just to get a paycheck, and you got to find a way to make them want to be there. You got to find a way to make them a part of the team and really feel like they're part of something special. So, we've been able to do that by just, you know, different ways of incentivizing people instead of doing it on an individual level. We now do it on a team level so that everything's about the team every time. And, we've seen a huge impact there. I love giving people responsibilities and budgets that I let them run with. You know, we eat as a team, and if they want to change their budget or do something that they think might be a little bit different, you know, they got to pass it by the team and we decide as a team. So everyone really feels like they're a part of it now, instead of it just being me pulling all the strings and making all the decisions. And that's been a huge game changer for us.
How have you seen that make an impact? Like, once you've really started, you mentioned it was hard for you to hire at first. You kind of struggled, like most entrepreneurs do, with just having everything on your back. Like, once you really started giving up some of that responsibility, trusting others, having more of this team culture, how did that start to make an impact in the company?
It was massive. I reached out to other people, and one of them was my dad, but other successful business owners as well. And, you know, I just asked them what took them to that next level. And, you know, they just kept saying, it's all about the team. Like, look at your product. You know, what really separates your product from, you know, Hydro Flask or Yeti that are, you know, selling billions of dollars. You know, at the end of the day, it's really not the product. It's the team that they built around it and the amazing relationships their teammates have built as well. So, you know, that's what it was all about for us. And once we did that, once I put that system in place to make us all a team and realize and really tell my team that, you know, we're trying to build that team culture. We're looking for great teammates. This is the type of people we're trying to bring in. You know, that's when everything changed. And that's when we immediately saw that people, you know, they want to help the team then. You know, they don't feel like it's them against everyone else. They feel like it's a team, and they actually look for ways to make everyone better at that point.
I think that's so important because when we look at business impact or, you know, social driven businesses, so many people just jump to like, well, how much money are you giving away? You know, what's your foundation or what's your philanthropy like? But from my perspective, I've seen that, you know, businesses can really, I think they can make an impact either through, you know, giving away money and philanthropy and like through their profits. I think they can do it through, with some companies, that's all about their product and whether it's, you know, maybe organic products or different things like that. But for others, it's about a team. Like a business is a tool to be able to provide for people's families and provide for even like socially for them to have like people that they enjoy interacting with and they're growing from. So I think that's really huge that you guys are focusing on that internally and making an impact. And I just think too many people don't realize that that's a huge way of impact for business is how are you handling things internally? Are your people excited to come to work? Or are you just running over all your people to try and make as much money as you can? So I think that's awesome. Where do you see things like, where do you see IceShakers in a handful of years? Like we were talking before about kind of moving into some new industries and collaborations and different things, but I'm sure that you have some more ideas and plans than just like people coming to IceShakers and buying more insulated shaker bottles. So what's next and what are you excited about?
Man, yeah, it was an exciting day today. Actually, we launched a partnership with a gaming supplement company. So I think they sold out in about 2 hours. So that's really exciting to see because that's a massive, massive industry. The live streaming is insane. The amount of views that they get, these gamers are, you know, almost like the new, you know, athlete, you know, the new celebrity athlete, and they have massive followings and people trust them. They see them every day. They're going to listen to what they say and, you know, they're huge fans. So breaking into that market has been really cool to see. We got really excited about it today. But you know, really we're just pushing it into everywhere we can. You know, the product really can go anywhere. We're able to customize each and every bottle. So we could tap every market, and we are bringing new products in as well. We're hitting some, you know, larger jugs, really trying to push into the sports market that, I think it's a great space for us. And we're also bringing in, some cooler bags as well, more geared towards, again, sports and fitness where you can pack your lunch in it, but also bring it to your kid's sports game on the weekend.
That's awesome. Yeah. I mean, we're constantly, everybody's on the go and we're constantly drinking out of different things. And I think everybody would rather have a cold drink than a hot drink in most situations. So I think there's plenty of room to expand into that for sure. Well, thanks.
Yeah. We're excited.
Yeah. It's going to be fun to see how those product lines grow. Last thing, I always like inviting our guests to kind of share some of their insight. Like a lot of our listeners of this show, they're just starting their businesses, or maybe they're aspirational business owners. But really, our audience, they're wanting to start businesses that make an impact. And I think it's so interesting. Earlier, you mentioned that you realized you guys were making more money from a business than from, you know, from the NFL for your career. And I think like I would imagine, I guess you'd be the one to answer this, but I would imagine that there's probably better chance of people starting a business that can provide for your family than people going and making it to the NFL. So I think it's awesome that you said that. What would some of your input and advice be to people that are just getting started in business?
Yeah. That I could definitely help out here. Kind of back to what I said earlier about just being passionate about what you're doing. You know, I was making a lot of money with my wife's business, but you know, at the end of the day, it wasn't me. I didn't even tell people what I was doing. I didn't post on social media about it. You know, my friends and family would ask, and I would just tell them I was kind of doing this thing. You know, I didn't really actually even explain to them what I was doing, because you know, at the end of the day, I just didn't feel like that's who I was. So, you know, you can make a lot of money. You're never going to be really fulfilled about it. You're never going to be excited about it. For the most part, money is money. And I eventually realized that. So my advice is, you know, do something that you're passionate about. You know, if you love it, you're going to find a way to be successful in it. So what I did and what I suggest doing is, you know, start something you love doing and start it as a side hustle and just, you know, see if there's something there. And if there is, you know, wait till it gets to that point. And once it's strong enough, once you know you can make a living off of it, jump all in. But if you're passionate about it, a lot of other people are going to be passionate about it, and you're going to find a way to make money in it somehow. So for me, that was the sports and fitness world. You know, I wanted to be in it. I didn't know how I was going to be in it, but you know, for me, it ended up being in the form of a shaker bottle. So, you know, started as a side hustle. First 6 months, you know, I was doing every trade show I could find. You know, I was looking up every SEO hack because I didn't want to spend any money on paid ads because I didn't know how. And, you know, I just grinded it out for the first six months. And, you know, after that, I was lucky enough to get on Shark Tank. But, you know, it went from at that point, that's when it went from a side hustle to an all in full-time job. But up until then, first 6 months, there was just, I was actually shipping the bottles out of the upstairs of my house and storing them in a storage unit. So that's what it takes. And, you know, I was so excited about it that I didn't care. So that's how you have to feel about it, though. If you're that excited about something, if you love it that much, you know, go for it. But start it small, let it grow. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of ups and downs. But if you love it, you're going to find a way to be successful in it.
Love it. It's so true. And I think it's so important that people are excited and energetic about the business that you're in. Because I think if you're just doing it to make money and you don't love the product, you don't love the people you're serving, I've seen that burn people out so quickly. So I think that's great advice to end on. Chris, I really appreciate you being on the show. And to the listeners, I just want to say, make sure to check out the show notes in the description for all the information on how to get in touch with Ice Shakers and how to get your bottle. Anything that you kind of want to, kind of last words you want to add just to plug anything you guys got going on or any of your special products you guys got right now?
Yeah, for sure. Check me out at Chris Gronkowski. I'm everywhere on every social media. But yeah, check out the YouTube channel, The Gronks. Definitely pumping out some good content there. And then iceshaker.com. You know, we can customize each and every bottle. Put names, logos, sayings, really whatever you want. It makes great gifts for holidays, for employees, for customers. Really anything you could think of, we can throw on the bottle as well. So definitely check it out. Hit us up if you're looking for something custom.
Love it. Awesome. Chris, thanks so much for being on the show. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for listening to the Small Business Storytellers. If you've wanted to start a podcast and have been wondering if you can use podcasting to grow your business, but don't know where to start, I'd love to talk. Head to successwithstories.com/podcast to learn exactly how to launch, grow, and profit from a podcast for your business. Again, that is successwithstories.com/podcast. Thank you so much for listening. And if you like this episode, share it with someone you know who would also like it. If you want to be a guest on the podcast or know someone who would be a great guest on the show, let me know. Thank you, and we will see you next time on the Small Business Storytellers.